It's king cake season, and on this week's Louisiana Eats, we examine how this carnival indulgence became the phenomena it is today. We begin at longtime king cake purveyor Randazzo's Camellia City Bakery in Slidell.
I work the oven all the time, 12 to 14 to 16 hours plus a day. You feel like a zombie, but it's well worth it, especially when you see the smiles on your customers' faces and people are enjoying the taste of your king cake. It makes it all worthwhile.
Next, we learn the fascinating story behind Will Samuel's King Cake Hub.
We knew that we were going to have some sort of a presence selling king cakes. It wasn't going to be at Pizza Nola, but it was going to be somewhere.
We're cutting a slice and hoping to get the baby on this week's Louisiana Eats. That's coming up next, but first, the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. NPR has learned that Attorney General William Barr told people close to him that he considered resigning. NPR's Ryan Lucas explains.
An administration official tells NPR that Barr has considered quitting over his growing frustration with President Trump's public statements about the Justice Department and its cases. It is unclear whether the Attorney General has directly told Trump he has weighed stepping down. For now, Barr remains at the department's helm, and a department spokeswoman says the Attorney General has, quote, no plans to resign. Last week, Barr said Trump's public comments about the department make it impossible for him to do his job. Echoing comments Barr has told the president privately for weeks to no avail. The latest news adds to a tumultuous stretch for the Justice Department amid growing questions about its political independence under Barr. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
The Trump administration's purging another official in the wake of the president's impeachment trial over his disputed dealings with Ukraine. John Rood, the number three person at the Pentagon, will be leaving at the end of the month, reportedly at the president's request. Rood had certified last year that Ukraine made enough anti-corruption progress to justify releasing congressionally authorized aid, essentially undercutting the president's explanation for delay. However, according to Reuters, Trump's request was made amid a dispute between government agencies over a bid to crack down on exports to China's Huawei Technologies. A federal appeals court has upheld a lower court ruling allowing Florida felons who have served their time to register to vote. NPR's Greg Allen reports the court says felons cannot be barred from voting if they have outstanding court fees and fines.
The ruling by a three-judge panel at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals means that hundreds of thousands of felons in Florida will now be allowed to register to vote. The appeals court agreed with a lower court judge that a requirement that felons first pay all outstanding fines and fees penalizes those without money and appears unconstitutional. A referendum passed by voters in 2018 overturned a 150-year-old Florida law that denied the vote to felons. But a law passed afterwards by the legislature and signed by Florida's governor said felons would not be eligible to vote until they'd paid outstanding fines. A spokesman for Florida's governor says he'll now ask the full appeals court to review the decision. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
Blue Apron is struggling to spice up its online sales of ready-to-cook meal kits. The Associated Press reports the company is considering putting itself up for sale if it keeps hemorrhaging money. Blue Apron Holdings was worth nearly $2 billion after it became a public company in 2017. Today, the company is valued at about $58 million. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 132 points since the opener, nearly 0.5% at 29,366. From Washington, this is NPR News. Utility crews in Mississippi are waiting for floodwaters to recede before they restore electricity around Jackson, the most populated city in the state. Mara Hartman, spokesperson with Entergy, says it would be dangerous to do otherwise.
The water has to be receded before we can go in and restore power to any business or residence. In addition, if a meter has been flooded, then the owners will have to get a city or county inspection before we can restore their electricity.
The threat of floods from the heavy rains forced some school systems in East Alabama to open late today. American home builders kept busy last month. NPR's Scott Horsley reports building permits climbed to their highest level in nearly 13 years.
Warm weather and cool mortgage rates have proven a boon for the home building industry. Housing starts held strong in January after a December surge that revised figures show was even stronger than initially reported. Builders started work on houses last month at a pace that would yield more than 1.5 million homes over the year. Applications for new housing permits suggest that robust pace will continue. A survey of home builders shows a lot of confidence in the market, but some concerns over lack of available land and construction workers. The nation added 44,000 construction jobs last month. Demand for housing has been fueled in part by low interest rates, with the average for a 30-year fixed mortgage now below 3.5%. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
U.S. stocks are trading higher. The Nasdaq is up nearly 1% since the open at 98.26. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include C3.ai. C3.ai's software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at C3.ai.
Did you miss your favorite KRVS program? Well, we've got you covered. Visit krvs.org, scroll over Audio on Demand, select your favorite program from the list, and find an archive of past episodes. Listen anytime, anywhere.
It's inspired by jazz and classical arrangements. It's driven by contemporary and world rhythms. It's the evolving sound of a new Celtic music on the Thistle and Shamrock.
Coming up Sunday at 6 p.m. on KRVS.
Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Louisiana Fish Fry, a backyard staple for 40 years. Maker of batters, coatings, boils, tartar sauce, cocktail sauce, and more. Let's all Louisiana.
From our studios in the Southern Food and Beverage Museum in New Orleans, this is Louisiana Eats. I'm Poppy Tooker. What's your favorite king cake? Never had a king cake? Well, here's a public service warning. You'll be hungry for some once this show is over. The king cake, or gâteau du roi, as it was originally called in France, is a New Orleans tradition as old as the city itself. Most of us, who hail originally from the 20th century, grew up eating Mackenzie's King Cake. Mackenzie's was a local pastry chain that dominated the scene here in the latter half of the last century. That cake was a simple brioche dough, shaped in an oval and sprinkled with purple, green, and gold sugar, dotted with candied cherries. No icing, no filling. Can you imagine that? Then, in the final decades of the last century, a new breed of king cake arrived. This one on steroids, pumped full of flavored fillings and drenched in white royal icing. While there's a debate over who made it first and when, by the 1980s, the Randazzo family were already leaders in the field. We'll be hearing from second-generation Trisha Randazzo Zorns and her son, Zach Zorns, about how they continue the tradition today at Randazzo's Camellia City Bakery in Slidell. In the last decade, the buzz surrounding king cakes has reached a fevered pitch, with bakeries across the state introducing all kinds of new styles. Offering over 50 king cake varieties through his aggregator, King Cake Hub, Will Samuels is here to help you pick your new favorite. It's purple, green, and gold all the time on this week's Louisiana Eats. At the turn of the 21st century, king cakes glazed with icing and injected with flavorful fillings were all the rage in New Orleans. If a bakery wanted to stand out in this decadent new era, you had to be good.
Setting the pace on the growing king cake craze was Randazzo's Camellia City Bakery. For decades, the Slidell family business has been known for their innovative king cake creations, all rooted in a tradition that goes back generations.
I think of us as the oldie but goodies. We've been around a long time, and we don't change.
That's co-owner of Randazzo's Camellia City Bakery, Tricia Randazzo Zorns.
My dad instilled in us very strict ways of making that king cake, and we continue it today.
It really is the old school way. I mean, you can even look around our bakery right now. You don't see conveyor belts. It's just a bunch of tables and some mixers and some ovens.
That's Zach Zorns, Trisha's son, and director of operations.
We don't do it the fastest or the quickest way. We like to do it the best way that tastes the best and makes the most sense for us and our customers.
The Randazzo family name has been synonymous with king cake since 1965, the year Trisha's dad and two uncles opened Highland Bakery in Violet, Louisiana. After they moved to Chalmette in 1971, Trisha's husband, Lou Zorns, joined the family business. Following her dad's retirement in 1996, Tricia and Lou opened their own bakery on the North Shore, where they now focus all of their energy on king cake production. We caught up with Tricia and her son, Zach, the next generation of baking Randazzos, at their Camellia City Bakery in Slidell. They started by sharing their earliest king cake memories.
Mine was in Violet, Louisiana. I mean, we would go over there, and my mom would be making cakes and everything. My dad would be the baker. My uncles were in there, my grandfather. It was just a big family affair.
My earliest memory would be in the mid-'80s when I was in kindergarten. And I remember during the carnival time, different people would bring king cakes over for the kids, and then we'd cut them up. And I couldn't wait to bring my family's king cake over, so when they did bring the king cake over, I made sure, my mom was always super sweet with it, and she made sure that every slice had a baby in it, so all the kids got the baby, and it was always a special surprise. I felt like a little celebrity, and I remember when I was a kid as well, taking our class over to the original bakery in Chalmette to do a field trip, right. And we were giving all the kids donuts. That was always been special.
Anything for you.
Now, I see from all of the different choices that you have in king cakes now that you all have moved along with that king cake evolution of filled king cakes. But you go back to before anybody was sticking anything but cinnamon in king cake, huh?
I'm not sure if we're the first or what, but it's back there. It goes a long way. And we do ours different than everybody else, too, I think. We pump our filling in between the braids. And our dough is braided, and then the filling goes in between, and it's not just one big jelly roll. Mm.
And what are the earliest flavors that you... Because, once upon a time, there was just king cake, king cake, king cake. Mm-hmm. And now there's king cake to the moon and back.
Right, exactly.
The first ones would be cream cheese or the fruit fillings.
Definitely.
Because I think the fruit fillings made an easy transition from donuts and other kinds of bakery types of...
The donuts, they could easily pump the king cakes, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How often do you eat king cake? Do you eat king cake every day?
Pretty daily right now. Especially during the season. My favorite last year is different than this year. Right now, I have my favorite is strawberry and cream cheese mix. It's just delicious.
I have a bunch of favorites. I think anything mixed with cream cheese tastes great. All the fruit fillings taste great with cream cheese. Our pecan praline is one of my favorites, as well as the traditional. In terms of how often I eat it, I like to bring one home to my beautiful wife and son. I'd say at least once a week where they get to enjoy it. Sometimes I bring it, where I let my son decorate his own little king cake when he gets home, and it's just a fun surprise.
We call Luke the chief tasting officer. Yes. He's 5 years old, and he's so precious.
Yes.
Has the field trip come here yet, or are you baking the king cake with the king cake baby in every slice for him?
No. he's taking multiple trips to the bakery, but he hasn't been here when we're actually making the cakes. We always make them in the middle of the night. So
his favorite thing is rolling the racks around.
Yeah, that's true.
Legacy is a wonderful thing to have, but sometimes those in line are not so much interested in taking over the legacy. How has that worked in your family?
Well, it was like a no-brainer for me. I like all those years, I was a court reporter, but I guess for some reason I knew I was going to be in the bakery business one day. And I tried doing both when we first opened up. I tried being a court reporter and doing bakery. And my husband says, Tricia, if you're going to be in this business, you're going to have to give up one or the other. And so I gave up court reporting, came in the business and stayed, and then never looked back. And as far as Zach's concerned, I know he gave up a lot to be with us. But I prayed for a long time for him to be in the business, so my prayers were answered.
There were always in my. It's funny. There was a time early when I was younger, when I was in college or not. My dad would always be like, "Oh, I think you were trying to get me to join," and he would be like, "Oh, you know, you don't want to be in front of the oven. It's not the most fun occupation in terms of dealing with the heat and whatnot." But slowly but surely, I think both of you ended up, always saying, you know, come on board, you know, and it worked out. I'm happy. I couldn't be happier.
And Zach, how are you feeling about Luke and the ovens?
if it's something that he has a passion for, I'll 110% support it and teach him every trick that I've learned over the years and picked up. I just want him to be happy and healthy and just enjoy life. So wherever his passions take him, I'll completely support it. So.
Amen and
the life of the king cake baker during the king cake season is really something else. Tell me what the hours are like, and let's talk numbers because they have to be fascinating.
The numbers are mind-numbing. They're thousands upon thousands upon thousands daily. Yeah, daily and then throughout the season. I work the oven all the time, 12 to 14 to 16 hours plus a day. But you feel like a zombie, but it's well worth it, especially when you see the smiles on your customers' faces and people are enjoying the taste of your king cake. It makes it all worthwhile.
So what are the hours of the baker? When do you come in? What happens?
I come in right after dinner time. So as soon as dinner's over with my family, I'd say about 7, 8 o'clock, I say bye to them, and I come over to the bakery and start the process, and we'll be baking, depending on how many cakes we have to bake that day, we'll be baking up until easily 8 a.m., 9 a.m., all to way noon. We've baked all the way well into the afternoons and 2 to 3 p.m. Try to keep up.
Mm-hmm. When does this all get geared up and you start making king cakes?
We start mid-December mm-hmm. is when we start. We found out that was probably the most comfortable time for us as well as our customers. King cakes in the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday time always go really well together. Uh-huh. So and I personally love the Christmas colored sprinkles as well as the shapes that we make. We make a candy cane shape, a Christmas tree shape, a wreath shape, a Papa Noel. There's so many different things that we make that were just permutations of the regular Mardi Gras king cake shape that it seemed to go really well together.
So you all continue to innovate and grow and change. What's going to come new with your generation, Zach?
I don't know.
The sky's the limit. His wheels are turning.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm also a big proponent of if it's not broke, don't fix it. So, obviously the recipe's there and the process is there. It's just more or less streamlining things and making things more efficient and just trying to please as many people as possible.
I knew that you all had to be the king of king cakes when I saw that you actually had kingcakes.com as your URL. That was quite impressive.
Yeah. I can tell you a funny story of...
Okay, go ahead. Spill okay. What you want to spill.
Okay. I'd love to know.
Obviously, there's two main ways of saying king cakes. Either, you know, king cakes plural or singular. And I asked her a long time ago, I'm like, Mom, I'm like, why'd you get just the plural one and not the singular one? And this is right when, you know, the internet was coming out. Right. And she was like, I only needed one. I didn't want to be greedy. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like.
That's true.
I know.
That's God's honest truth. I didn't want to be greedy. Oh. Would have known the internet would have been like it is today.
You all are really special people. It is such a treat to be here with mm-hmm. you. Thank you.
We're thankful for all of our customers and happy for our employees and just thank everybody.
We just want everybody to be blessed. Yep. And there's enough to go around, king cakes for everybody.
That was Tricia Randazzo-Zorns, and her son, Zach Zorns, at Randazzo's Camellia City Bakery in Slidell. To hear the extended version of this interview, visit our website, poppytooker.com. For three generations, the Haydel family has set the standard for New Orleans king cakes, both locally and around the globe. Baking over 60,000 king cakes annually, the family-owned and operated business ships to a national and international fan base. They also stand amidst the pantheon of world record breakers. On September 22, 2010, Haydel's made history when it nabbed the Guinness World Record for largest king cake ever made. Two rings of braided king cake circled the Superdome, taking 3 days to bake and over 6 hours to assemble. That record still stands today, almost 10 years later. Louisiana Eats stopped by the family's Jefferson Highway Bakery to speak with David Haydel Jr. about their world-famous king cakes. I asked David just how they go about baking over 60,000 king cakes a year.
Lots of sugar, lots of dough, and very little sleep.
Now, you won the Guinness Book of World Records for biggest king cake. How big was that king cake?
It was actually two king cakes. We were going to have one king cake that kind of looped over itself and would have been about 8,000 pounds. But the Guinness folks said, nope, you can't loop it over itself. It has to be a scaled up version of the real thing. So we said, well, can we break two records? And they said, yeah, sure, no problem. But the two cakes totaled right around 8,000 pounds, you know, together. But we broke the old record by like 1,000 pounds. So we did it up big.
Who had set the old record?
The old record was actually held by a bakery in Houston. So, you know, with the Houston-New Orleans rivalry, we just couldn't stand for that. So
who benefited from the world's largest king cake?
The net proceeds of the event actually went to Susan G. Komen, New Orleans. You know, here at the bakery, we had a couple employees pass away from breast cancer. So, you know, it was kind of important for us to raise money for them, to raise breast cancer awareness and things like that. So I think we ended up raising a little over $47,000 after it was all said and done.
Well, take us through the process of how do you make a Haydel's king cake?
Basically, we start out with an enormous mixing bowl, and it's flour, it's water, it's yeast, it's flavoring, and it mixes for 20 minutes or so, and then, you know, it sets, and we let the yeast rise, and that's let your flavor set in there. We scale the dough off, we flatten it out on the table, we still put the cinnamon, sugar, and the oil on by hand, we hand braid every king cake, it goes into the proof house where the dough rises again, goes into the oven, and then goes for decorating with the icing and sugar and all that good stuff.
So the big mixing bowl, that kind of catches my attention. How many king cakes come out of that mixing bowl on the average?
Each dough, that's what we call it in the mixing bowl, each dough gives you approximately 100 king cakes, depending on the size you're running. So about 100 king cakes a dough.
Now, I know that you ship your king cakes all over the world. Tell us some of the more exotic locales that the king cakes have been sent to.
Well, you know, the international shipping has grown. A lot of people, you know, they have friends that live overseas and they want them to have a king cake. It's basically wherever UPS will go. So we've sent them to Egypt, Sweden, lots to France, lots to London, Canada, although it doesn't seem like an international location, but you know, we ship a lot to Canada. And then with a lot of the soldiers serving overseas, families will pack them up and ship them over there. It takes when my cousin was serving in Iraq, he said it took about 2 weeks to get it, but he said it was a lot better than anything else they were eating. So
I'm enticed by the thought that you ship king cakes to France. You know, I really do think that's like Coles to Newcastle.
Well, a lot of New Orleans people have friends over there, and so it kind of got to be, and I know there was one customer that would send it every year as a joke, saying that this is what the real king cake is supposed to be like, as opposed to, of course, the French king cake, which is the real one. But, you know, it got pretty funny for a while there.
David, do you still eat king cake?
On very rare occasions. Once you see 60,000 of them a season, it's pretty much the last thing you feel like eating. But my kids and my wife do make me bring some home every now and again.
David, thank you so much for taking the time out at this busiest time of all for you to talk with us on Louisiana Eats. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was David Haydell Jr. of Haydell's Bakery in New Orleans.
Coming up next, we visit a one-stop shop where a variety of king cakes from across Southeast Louisiana are available daily. Louisiana Eats returns after the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bill Bolins from the Dirty Rice Show. Dirty Rice is on the air every Saturday evening from 9 p.m. until 11 p.m. So won't you join either myself or my co-host, Mr. Lee Klein, Peter, for the best in Louisiana music right here on KRVS 88.7 FM and on the internet at krvs.org.
Later today on This American Life, growing up black, in Russia, Elena always dreamed about who she might marry if she came to America.
One day, da-da-da-da, he'll be tall and black, da-da-da-da. Whose song was that?
One day your prince will come.
And then one day, she visits America. That's later today.
Coming up tonight at 7 on KRVS.
Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Camellia Brand, Beans Done Right, a New Orleans tradition since 1923, and from Brennan's Restaurant, home of the original breakfast at Brennan's and flaming Bananas Foster. Breakfast, lunch, dinner and private events at 417 Royal Street in the French Quarter. In New Orleans, the king cake business is booming. Nothing illustrates this trending craze better than the bustling King Cake Hub in New Orleans. Stop by their mid-city pop-up from 12th Night to Lundi Gras, and you can feel the excitement of the assembled king cake shoppers. Neither rain nor cold keeps these revelers from their king cakes.
We had a couple of rainy days and a couple of very cold days. But what was remarkable, I think, is on those days is that we've had people that were coming through the doors. When it was driving down rain here, there were still customers that were coming and looking for king cakes. And even on the days that we were bundled up, people were still coming out.
That's Will Samuels, the man behind the business.
And so, you know, we kind of have a duty there now to make sure that folks around town get their king cakes. And so we're with that duty comes great responsibility. So we're going to be here, rain or shine.
Through its retail store and website, King Cake Hub offers cakes from bakeries across New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana in a one-stop shop.
Well, the idea was to have a central location where people can get king cakes without having to drive out to Houma or to the West Bank or to River Ridge, to be in one central spot. There was a customer a couple of weeks ago who had a king cake from Kanata's and Kaluta's and Hido, and I was calculating, and I said, I just saved you about 3 hours and 48 minutes of driving around town. Someone actually said it was kind of like the Big Easy of king cake shopping. It's for people who are lazy and don't want to have to go driving around. Yeah, okay, that's a good New Orleans style of king cake shopping.
Will's Only in New Orleans style concept is one born from serendipity and marketing genius. It all started back in 2011 when Will's wife Jennifer debuted her own popular king cake, which they put on sale at their Lakeview restaurant, Pizza Nola. But on Lundi Gras Day in 2014, they had sold out of their own king cakes. Needing one for Fat Tuesday, Will and Jennifer headed to Dongfang Bakery in New Orleans East, having heard the buzz about their unique spin on the classic recipe. Located in the heart of the city's Vietnamese community, Dongfang has been a local treasure for over three decades. The bakery first started making king cakes in 2008 as a way to introduce the Vietnamese community to New Orleans Carnival. With one bite of Dongfang's king cake, Will became obsessed with the idea of marketing it in lieu of his wife Jennifer's version. After several months of conversations, a deal was struck, and the unlikely partnership between Dongfang Bakery and Pizza Nola was formed. In 2015, Pizza Nola became the first spot to offer Dongfang king cakes anywhere but their own New Orleans East bakery during carnival season. That's when the relentless marketer, Will Samuels, decided to turn his king cake business into a three-ring circus. On January 6, 2016, he introduced what would become his first carnival kickoff party, an elaborate ceremony with free cake and a lot of fanfare.
For years, we have had a carnival kickoff party. When we had Pizza Nola, we always had a big party on the 6th.
At 8 a.m., local bands entertained crowds as media outlets and local celebrities gathered in his restaurant parking lot.
And there's really no other band that we could have to kick off Carnival than Benny Grunge.
Ain't no place to be on Mardi Gras Day, Mardi Gras Day.
Nola.com was there to videotape the event.
I'm Will Samuels. I am the owner of Pizza Nola. This morning is our carnival kickoff event to celebrate the arrival of the Dongfang King Cakes.
Sirens wailed as the Dongfang van, with full police escort, delivered the first King Cakes of the season. The cakes were then escorted down a red carpet to a table, where Peggy Scott Laborde was given the honor of cutting the first piece. A bit over the top? Perhaps. But that January 6th, Will had established a new 12th night tradition and gave Dongfang's king cakes top billing.
For us, it's like we want to have that first party in the morning of January 6th. So no matter what else you do, if you go to the Bywater Bakery event that's after ours, and then the Funny 40 Fellows and the Jeanne d'Arc, we always want to have that first spot in the morning to have your first piece of king cake in Carnival.
Will's marketing scheme worked. By Ash Wednesday, Pizza Nola sold over 4,000 Dongfang king cakes. In 2017, the number doubled. Projecting sales of up to 1,000 a day in 2018, Will was now seeing king cakes represent nearly one-third of his annual business. Then, everything changed.
If you want a king cake from Dongfang Bakery, you sure have to show up early. Well, here's the scene in New Orleans East around the bakery this morning. Some people said that they showed up as early as 1 a.m. to guarantee a king cake.
I don't know if your workplace is like ours, where people just can't get enough of the king cakes from Dongfang Bakery.
And that seems to be more true now that they stopped selling them to wholesalers earlier this week.
Of course, shortly after Pizza Nola's carnival kickoff in 2018, Dongfang was thrust into the national spotlight when it won a James Beard American Classics Award. Almost overnight, long lines of customers appeared at their New Orleans East bakery, eager to pick up a Dongfang king cake. Unable to keep up with demand, the bakery was forced to suspend their deliveries to retailers and outlets, including Pizza Nola. Losing that important revenue stream, Will was forced to shut the doors of his restaurant in March 2018. Shortly after Pizza Nola closed, Gambino's Bakery called, offering exclusive distribution of their company's king cake, previously only available from Gambino's in Jefferson Parish. Already looking ahead to next year's carnival season, Will himself suddenly had an epiphany.
We knew that we were going to have plans for some sort of an appearance at Carnival. We would have some sort of a presence selling king cakes. It wasn't going to be at Pizza Nola, but it was going to be somewhere. And when Gambino's reached out to us, and we thought, that's something that we could really make work.
He wondered, could he do what he did for the Dong Fong king cake with any other cake? And what about ones that didn't even exist yet? Together, Will and Gambino's Bakery collaborated on a brand new confection, the Epiphany Cake, the first exclusive for Will's new brainchild, the King Cake Hub.
The Epiphany is a project that Gambino's is doing exclusively for us. When we first started talking with them, we were like, we want to be able to create something that is ours. And Gambino's is making it. They're doing something a little different in their brioche dough, and it's basically something they had done with their Kringle cakes, different from the other Gambino's King Cakes. And they're using a cream cheese and buttercream icing and carnival sprinkles.
Promoting it on his website in the fall of 2018, Will realized he had captured the imaginations of King Cake crazy New Orleanians.
When we were getting ready for the season, this is back in November when we launched the website, we had made the King Cake available for pre-order. And I was surprised that people were buying this product that I had no idea what it was going to taste like at that point. It was a product that didn't exist. And it wasn't until shortly before Carnival that we actually knew what it was going to taste like. But we were so pleased at the end result.
Emboldened by that success, Will approached dozens of bakeries from all across the New Orleans area and as far away as Houma and Belle Chasse, asking them to partner with him on his new project. Finding a home at a former mortuary-turned-haunted house on Canal Street, King Cake Hub made its splashy debut on January 6th, 2019.
It was a great day, and to be able to launch the King Cake Hub on that date, it was fantastic. We had Betty Grunge and the Bunch, Panorama Brass Band, where they were on a streetcar, and they got off their streetcar, and they were playing as we marched down a block with the first of the Epiphany King Cakes to be able to have the King Cake cutting. And then Professor Carl Naval was there with Grand Marshal Mardi Gras, and they cut the first piece.
Once again, King Cakes took center stage at Will's Carnival kickoff, though this time it was his very own Epiphany Cake on a pedestal. That year, it was his number one seller. Ringling Brothers, roll over. There's a new circus in town, and New Orleans King Cake King, Will Samuels, is the ringmaster.
We had such a great crowd, and we had a number of King Cakes that we were sampling out. And there were probably about 250 people, I think, in the front of the mortuary there on Canal Street, along with a number of TV cameras and folks that were looking live at the live.
Carnival time can bring about a lot of late-night revelry, but baking is no business for night owls. When Bourbon Street partiers are finally heading home in the wee hours of the morning, New Orleans bakers are already hard at work preparing the season's signature delicacy. Senior producer Joe Schreiner got up early to take us inside Cake Cafe so we could learn how their celebrated king cakes are made.
My name is Steve Himmelfarb, owner of the New Orleans Cake Cafe and Bakery. We do a number of different king cakes. We do these mini king cakes, which I'm setting up right now. These are the apple cochise. We also do a raspberry cream cheese. Then we do this mini king cake for Aunt Sally's pralines. In the process of doing these mini king cakes, I mislabeled the Aunt Sally's apple goat cheese. So I have to write apple goat cheese really on ours so that when they go to be iced, they know, wait a minute, these are apple goat cheese. That's the kind of thing that happens at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I got here about 1:45. It takes about a solid hour for the ovens to warm up, so that's a good time to get everything set up. We roll the doughs out the night ahead of time so that when I come in, we have sheets of dough in the cooler that are ready to be worked with. So that's where these are right now. They're still pretty, they're kind of cold. So, but I'm going to start making our raspberry cream cheese, large ones. We opened in 07, right at the beginning of September. So I've been making king cakes since before then. First thing I ever really wanted to do was make sure it had the drizzle icing on it, because I really wanted to express the creativity and the boldness and the fun of Mardi Gras, and just really wanted it to be a piece of art. King cake is a real calling card for a bakery, and I really wanted to do something totally unique and something special that wasn't over the top. It was just real. Okay. So I take the dough and twist it around a little bit so the filling will hopefully stay in, and we'll get ready and put these in the oven in a minute.
I'm Becky Himmelfarb, I'm Steve's wife, and I am right now mixing icing that I am going to use to decorate our king cakes. Before you put icing on anything, you have to work the icing. It's been refrigerated, so when Steve comes in, he takes it out so that it can be at room temperature when I get here. And then I can put it in the mixer and work it, which is much easier than when I used to work it by hand. So I guess, you know, not everything about the Industrial Revolution was bad. Although the mixer's been one of the few things that made me say that. This is our green. As you can see, it's a very bright, I call this Mardi Gras green. You know, I don't have the baking background my husband has. I just have the New Orleans background. So I draw on my childhood, and I look at that and say, yes, Mardi Gras green, that one's ready to go. These are the finished cakes that have come out of the oven, and you can see they have some extra flour on the top. So then I just brush that off. And take it off. The ends are always where it sticks the most, but you have to work your way around and then move it onto the board. So I'm just putting a little tiny bit of stuff in here that will help the icing set. Because, you know, you're looking at it and you see purple, green, and gold, and it looks like three different things, but actually it's all the same icing, so there's no reason for it not to all run together. So I'm going through and I'm laying the icing on the cake. I'm doing the purple first. Those were a little skinny, so I'm just going back over them. This is a little bit thick. I'm probably going to thin it out a little bit. We try to get all the way around with one spoonful if possible.
Mardi Gras music on.
I know.
We listen to Mardi Gras music every morning when we do our
cooking. Gonna shuffle. Okay, and here's my mix. We usually start with Louis Armstrong. You know what? The only other thing really for me to tell you about is the babies. We have our bucket of babies. We open that, and that has all the babies in it. Traditionally, the baby used to be baked into the king cake. Tourism became a much bigger business in New Orleans. So by the early 90s, you had tourists regularly eating king cake. In New Orleans, a five-year-old would know to look for the baby. But adult tourists were choking on babies. So most people stopped putting them in. We like to put it on top. We put it right there in the crevasse. Where the ends meet after we have it all decorated,
And then we tell people, you know, if you want to put it inside, follow the tradition, which we like to do. You just lift up one little spot and stick it in underneath. The cake is soft enough, you're going to be able to stick it right in.
Boy, grab your coat, grab your hat. Leave worries on your step. Just direct your feet on Sunday side of the street.
Early morning sounds from the kitchen at Cake Cafe in New Orleans.
Yourself, baby. Life can be so sweet on Sundays and street. I just walked in shit.
What is the flavor of king cake? Stay tuned, and we'll answer that question when we come right back.
Never have a cent. I'll be rich as Rockefeller. No, sir. Gold dust at my feet on Sunshine Street.
Hey, Alexa, play KRVS.
And good morning to you. Medicine Ball Caravan time once more here on KRVS.
No radio? No problem. Stay connected to your favorite radio station by using your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa, Google, or Siri to play KRVS. Thank you, Alexa.
You're welcome.
We all make mistakes in life. Si tu avais manqué la dernière Franco Mix, c'est OK. Tu peux m'écouter this Thursday at 9 p.m. seulement sur KRVS 88.7 avec Drake Benoit LeBlanc. Et c'est formidable.
I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with support from Louisiana Fish Fry, Breadings Boils, new air fry mixes, and more classic Louisiana dishes available everywhere. Let's all Louisiana. And from the St. Tammany Parish Tourist Commission. Located 40 minutes from New Orleans' French Quarter, the North Shore's Tammany Taste features the chefs and farmers, brewers and bakers of St. Tammany Parish's culinary scene. Don't miss the third annual Louisiana Food Truck Festival, Saturday, March 8th at the Harbor Center in Slidell. Over a dozen food trucks from across the region will compete for the People's Choice Award, so come vote for your favorite. Visit LouisianaNorthShore.com to discover more. Louisiana's North Shore, where New Orleans has come to play and get away for more than a century. Here's this week's culinary quiz question, brought to you with support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen. Is king cake a cake, or is it a flavor? I hearken back to the days of the Mackenzie king cake, when the plain dough and crunchy colored sugar was the taste of king cake. Then along came the more elaborate braids with cinnamon swirls, dripping white icing, and then there was cream cheese, then cream cheese and strawberry, followed by fruit of every flavor, and more recently, even savory king cakes have become a thing. But what's the taste of king cake? Yes, king cake is a flavor now. There's king cake vodka, for instance, spawning king cake cocktails of many stripes with or without that vodka. Every type of dessert, from panna cotta to creme brulee, and of course gelato and ice cream as well, have been dubbed king cake flavored this year. But what is the predominant flavor note in all this king cake madness? It's cinnamon. Apparently, if there's a taste of cinnamon and you sprinkle some purple, green, and gold sugar on top, it's king cake flavored. The first time I ever saw something billed as king cake flavor was back in 2015, when Max Messier of Cocktail & Sons explained to me how he'd captured the essence of king cake in a bottle.
Next up, we'll hear from Max and learn how he performed that magic. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats. Messier wants to make it easier for bars and home bartenders to create craft cocktails. He and his wife are co-founders of Cocktail & Sons, a company that produces a line of all-natural and handcrafted syrups using South Louisiana ingredients. We spoke with Max about his move into the syrups business and a special blend available from Cocktail & Sons every carnival season, a king cake flavored syrup.
So I made bitters back in 08, 09. Made some crazy stuff. But I found that the bitters market over the past couple of years, there's a lot of bitters. I've always been more fascinated by syrups because I felt that the syrups better complemented the spirits themselves and they acted as a modifier, whereas bitters are only accents or tinctures. And I've always worked with different types of sugars in my syrups, and I've always found the viscosity and the texture of those syrups from Thai palm sugar or just there's a whole range of different sugars. And I always liked playing around with different types.
That is one of the very fascinating things about your product, the viscosity of it. It's I guess I could compare it to honey or maple syrup. It's got a slow drip to it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And one thing that I find with syrups that I made that I used to use gum arabic. And down here in Louisiana, which people aren't really aware of outside of the state, we have a lot of sugar here. So I found my sugar guy, which is Bob Romero from Three Brothers. He's outside Lafayette. When I first started buying his stuff, he's sourcing a lot of the restaurants and bars in New Orleans. And I asked him, I said, Bob, I love your sugar, but it's too refined. I need something even more raw, more unscrubbed. And he was like, okay. So he actually produces for me a very special type of raw, unscrubbed sugar. There's actually big chunks of sugar, like dried sugarcane juice inside of the buckets. And when you tear open the top of the bucket during our processing days in the kitchen, it smells like you just cut down sugarcane. So fresh. So my wife, we've discussed about doing seasonals that are based upon New Orleans heritage and or historical references to the cocktail beverage world in general. So King cake syrup. Yes. I made this very elaborate syrup and my wife she tried it and she goes, you know, it's just a cinnamon brioche, right? That's all it really is, what a king cake is. So I went back drawing board, did a couple more things, tried to caramelize sugar, which you never want to do because it's such a delicate art. If you're trying to do a large batch, it's going to always fail. And went through like 6 or 7 different versions. And then finally my wife tried the last version, which is now in the bottle. And she goes, oh, my God, you made a king cake.
King cake in a bottle.
In a bottle.
King cake in a bottle.
And so I've always been fascinated but the very small baby that's in the cake, I just think it's insane. Like, it just is. And now apparently they're putting them outside of the cake and all this other kind of like weird stuff.
Well, you know, all that litigation.
Yeah, all that stuff. But we decided to put the baby on the plastic ring outside the bottle. And we had discussed about what cocktail to put onto the actual label.
What cocktail recipe you would use?
A carnival punch, because people during Mardi Gras, during carnival season, they like to just put everything into a bowl, take it with them, put it in a flask, put it into whatever type of container they have, and take it and watch the parades. So what you essentially need is a bottle of bourbon, rum, or vodka. You need about 3/4 cup of lemon juice. You need a bottle of king cake syrup, which is 8 ounces. You pour it all into a bowl, add some ice, and drink.
And you got a carnival party in a bowl,
that's
huh, Max?
That's what it is, yep. And on the recipe, we say lean against the barricades, and enjoy the parades.
Okay, Max. Here at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, we're ready for anything. I got the ice. I got the glasses. You've got the ingredients. What are we going to make?
Okay, so this is called a Night Tripper. I wanted to make a stirred cocktail with the king cake syrup. I love Negronis, so I always find that's the most classic style when you want to make a stirred drink. So what we have is we've got some bourbon, we got some dry vermouth, we've got the king cake syrup, and some orange bitters. So all we do is we just take part and a half of bourbon, and then we're going to take 3/4 dry vermouth, and then you're going to do 3/4 of the king cake syrup. This adds a nice sweetness.
Oh, it's a beautiful color, too.
Thank you so much. We roast cassia bark with pecan extract and lemon oil. And then we do a little bit of Regan's orange bitters right on top, 2 dashes. Add some ice. Take our spoon. Stir it up. You want to garnish it with either a lemon or an orange peel. You want to slice a little peel off and express it down below.
Or you could really have a party and just stick a king cake baby right in there, huh?
Yes, you could. take the baby off the bottle, throw it right into the glass.
Right into the glass. Okay.
Right there, this is called the Night Tripper, named after Dr. John. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you, Max. Mm-mm. Now, I have to say, not only is that the only king cake I've ever had in a glass, that's the best king cake I've ever had in a glass.
Thank you, Poppy.
Max. Thank you so much for telling us all about Cocktail and Sons. Congratulations on your success and happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras.
Max Messier of Cocktail and Sons.
That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Catch up on previous editions and hear all about upcoming special events by visiting poppytooker.com. Don't miss our latest Tammany Taste Quick Bites podcast featuring an extended interview with King Cake Royalty, the Randazzo family of Randazzo's Camellia City Bakery. You'll also find videos, recipes, and even order personalized cookbooks there. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, Louisiana Fish Fry, Camellia Brand Beans, and the St. Tammany Tourist Commission. Additional support for Louisiana Eats is provided by the baby of the Dickie Brennan and Company family of restaurants, Acorn, now open in City Park. Located at the Louisiana Children's Museum, Acorn is open Tuesday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Coffee, breakfast, lunch, and snacks are served up with some of the best views of the city. Museum admission not required. Original theme music composed by David Pomerleau and performed by Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes. Big thanks to senior producer Joe Schreiner and special projects manager Reggie Morris, and to our business manager and social media maven, Maddie Mulladew. Come visit us anytime in our Louisiana Eats studios at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. We're on Instagram and Facebook, too. Louisiana Eats is a production of Poppy Tooker Broadcasting.
For the best Cajun, Creole, and French music, listen to me, No Jules, every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 3, avec le bal de Dieu.